Support for KNKX comes from Portage Bay Cafe, now offering local, organic, and sustainable breakfast to go for large parties, corporate events, and more. Ordering available online at portagebaycafe.com.
I am excited to present saxophonist and composer Brent Jensen to the KNKX studios today with his Pure Desmond Band. Now, Paul Desmond is famous for his years with Dave Brubeck's quartet, writing one of the biggest hits in American music with Take Five. He described his particular sound on the alto sax as the sound of a dry martini, and that's also the name of Brent Jensen's Desmond tribute album from Seattle's Origin Records. Goes back to 2002. He's a brilliant alto and soprano sax player in his own right. Brent moved to Mill Creek just recently, having taught jazz for a dozen years at the College of Southern Idaho. I should say he's been in and around the Seattle jazz scene for years as well. He studied in New York with Lee Konitz in the 80s and appears on numerous albums for Origin Records and beyond. His quartet today includes Jamie Findlay on guitar, Jeff Johnson at the upright bass, Steve Tate drumming. Please help me welcome Brent Jensen and his Pure Desmond Band.
Thank you.
Brent Jensen at the alto saxophone. Great band here. Jamie Findlay guitar, Jeff Johnson bass, Steve Tate at the drums. Welcome to the show, Brent. Great to have you here.
Thanks, Abe.
Now, let's dig a little bit further into your bio, kind of a superhero origin story.
Where did
the,
oh, great.
Where did the radioactive spider of jazz first bite Brent
first
Jensen?
First bite me. I started playing in school jazz bands, lab bands, as I recall. That's dating me.
Right.
In the 70s. My dad actually happened, got introduced to Paul Desmond. It's around the same time I started playing. My dad was an elementary school teacher, and there was a janitor at his, or custodian, whatever is politically correct, school that was a big jazz fan, had grown up in New York, and he found out that, hey, your kid is playing saxophone, he's interested. So he kept sending these records home with my dad all the time, and he was a chain smoker. So every time I have visceral remembrances of these, I would open up and just the smoke would waft. All these, they were mostly CTI albums. This is the 70s, again, dating myself. And She Was Too Good to Me, Chet Baker, Pure Desmond, that particular album. And that's some of the first Paul Desmond I heard. And so that kind of got me, you know, started in that particular direction and through there. And you know, eventually, Boise is also well known for Gene Harris, settled there. That was a little bit later. When I was getting into my college years, but he had jam sessions and stuff. So there's a little bit going on, but it was fairly desolate at the time. Not a big jazz scene in Boise, Idaho at the time.
Now, in between, you got to spend some time in the 80s working with the great alto sax man Lee Konitz. Of course, worked with Miles Davis back in the day. Can you tell us about what you learned about saxophone and jazz from Lee?
A little bit about everything. I got a grant from the Idaho Commission on the Arts, to an apprenticeship grant to go study with him. And so I went a couple different trips over, I think it was 85, 86, something right there, 86, 87. And I had been pretty much self-taught up to that point. So this was I was maybe 25, 26. And so it comes down to, okay, here's what you've been doing wrong. And here's what you will now have to do for the next 10 years to correct. You know, so he kind of put me on the path of, here's the stuff. And he was brutally New York. Very much. There's stuff I cannot say over the air, FCC regular. But one time we were playing, we were doing a little duet back and forth, and we finished, and he just kind of sits there and looks at me, a little exasperating. Why are you playing all those effing notes? And so he gets right to the point. So.
Right on. back to Paul Desmond, kind of the focus of our show today.
Right.
I think a Dry Martini album, Remembering Paul Desmond, was your debut record? Is that
yeah,
right?
It was. That's when I first met John Bishop.
Yeah.
And I remember he was living in Ballard at the time. We met. It was kind of like a drug deal. I met him just on the street and handed him here was the demo. Would you be interested in putting this out? And so that was the first one. And it was my first one, so I figured, I'm nobody saxophone guy from Idaho, so I'll make it a tribute album. Everybody kind of knows Paul Desmond. I grossly underestimated Paul Desmond's popularity in the world, because that CD went crazy. We've had to reprint it a couple times. We just recently, it's been out of print for about, 5 or 6 years or so, but now we have copies available, physical copies. It's been in the world of whatever, Pandora and Spotify and online and Amazon and all that type of stuff. So it was... emails from all over the place. What mouthpiece do you read?
What BD is,
all of that too. But also just, I love Paul Desmond. And every once in a while, your name pops up on a blog where they're talking about, Paul Desmond and stuff. Yeah, there's this guy in Idaho. So it was a good move.
Yeah, right.
And one of the main reasons was because I would keep having it gigs, and Jamie can attest to this, and Steve too, without any background, they'll just come up, who you remind me of? I go, Paul Desmond. I was playing soprano at a jam session in Everett on Sunday. Same thing. Mm-hmm. You remind me of, even with the soprano, Paul Desmond. So
how about that?
So it was, it was the way to go, I think.
I think one of the real interesting things about Paul Desmond in context of his time was a lot of the other alto players around that time were copying Charlie Parker. Everybody was doing Charlie Parker, but certainly not Paul Desmond, as much as he was a fan.
Yeah, Desmond and Konitz both kind of went, those opposite directions. And they talk... there's a lot of, he actually had correspondence with his father, who was a musician in San Francisco, and in Doug Ramsey's book, there's a great biography for any Desmond fans that haven't discovered that. He really went into, because he was a very kind of private person. There was a lot of, and he had different groups of people that knew him and friends, but they didn't communicate with each other. So upon his death, it was like, oh, you knew Paul? And a lot of people found out Paul was married, and they didn't even realize he was married at one point. And so there was all these kind of different, so it's called The Public and Private Lives. Take Five, The Public and Private Lives of Paul Desmond. The private lives, a lot of stuff going on with him. And interesting guy. But he talks about, in his letters to his dad, about his kind of soul-wrenching, all the guys are playing bebop. I don't play bebop. I don't hear that. So he kind of went through that type of phase of thinking about the style he was playing.
Brent Jensen is live on 88.5. You can find him playing at Eat in Bellingham tomorrow, and at the North City Bistro in Shoreline doing the Desmond thing on February the 8th. We didn't get the name of that first tune.
The first tune was called Wendy, which is actually based on the chord changes of For All We Know. He would just call it on gigs, For All We Know, and then play that melody. And for a period of time, according to Doug Ramsey's bio, it was called Pittsburgh, which I think Wendy's a little bit more poetic. Exactly. And it probably had several different women's names, too, because he was sort of a notorious womanizer.
Yeah.
But it ended up being Wendy. So.
And this next song?
It's also a woman's name, which I have not changed. It's named after my wife. Wrote it on our 10th wedding anniversary. We just celebrated our 30th just recently. And this is entitled Anne Rose. It's on actually one of the albums I did with Jeff Johnson on Wellstone Conspiracy.
Excellent. Brent Jensen and his Pure Desmond Band live on 88.5 KNKX. Thank you. Brent Jensen on the alto sax with his Pure Desmond Band. We've got Jamie Findlay guitar, Jeff Johnson bass, and Steve Tate behind the drums. Brent, we were talking a little earlier about spending some time in Idaho, but as of, I think, last spring, you've been in the Northwest area. I think your daughter lives around the Northwest.
Yeah, she's in Linwood. A couple years ago, moved up here. So, and the grandkids are there, too. So.
Yes, great bonus of being closer to family. But tell us about the other bonuses of being closer to the city.
Well, it's just being, it was like I was talking to you before the show here, as being in Twin Falls, Idaho, I would bring a lot of these guys through, and so maybe they'd come and then two or three months later, something else fun would happen, or something. I was talking to Jamie earlier today. Now it's like, oh, look, I get to go do this with you guys. You know, there's far more musicians around here. And so it's not quite as isolated, not feeling like I'm on my little, you know, desert island. They always have the desert island playlist. Sometimes desert island's not such a good thing.
Now, one of the cats around here you've been playing with for a long time, I think you've got at least four albums you've done together, is pianist Bill Anschell, friend of the station. Yeah. What can you tell us about working with Bill?
It's great. We've done a duo thing. We've done a lot of, we've actually done a couple tours just doing, I brought him one into Idaho, and we did one kind of up through Eastern Washington because we had an album called We Couldn't Agree More that did pretty well several years ago. And it's kind of that type of thing when you meet, I think all these guys have had that experience where you start to play with somebody and it's just like there's an ESP, and that was definitely the thing with Bill. Typically, playing with pianists can sometimes be problematic because they have to prove to you how much harmony they've learned and all this stuff. And, hey, check out this hip new change. Wank. You know, it's like, I just want to play, you know, some melodies here. And I always give him, I don't know if it's a backhanded compliment or not, but to say, man, Bill, you don't play like a pianist. But he started as a saxophonist. He's a clarinet player. He was playing clarinet when he was in Mercer Island. And so he has a horn player kind of background. And he thinks that way, you know, like really nice melodic lines and stuff. So it's great playing duos. And we also played in the collective group with Jeff and John Bishop, Wellstone Conspiracy, mostly all original music in that group.
Now, speaking of reeds, you're on alto today, but you were telling me before the show you've been playing mostly soprano recently,
the last few years.
And then before that, you were playing mostly alto. And can you tell us about going back and forth between the two horns?
Because I'm like a psychological problem. You just kind of go back and forth between the instruments. And I was playing soprano for quite a while, so most of the stuff on Origin is on soprano. I figured when I was moving here, I better get a regular saxophone. So I bought this alto back in March and started playing alto again because of big bands. If I was going to sit in with any of the big bands, and I'm teaching lessons, so. And I've kind of actually set my issues with the, it was kind of like when you listen to yourself on a recording back, you go, oh, I sound like this? Or you see yourself, do I look like that? I always had that kind of feeling on the alto and I didn't get it on the soprano. So I felt the soprano was kind of felt more like a natural voice for me, but I'm starting to reconcile the alto thing. So, I'm living with the alto. So.
And you should, listeners, take your chance to catch Brent Jensen on the soprano sax. He doesn't play one of those fat clarinet-looking things. It's, it's the tiny, curvy saxophone. Tell us about that.
Well, I get lots. I mean, that's the other thing. Besides, hey, you know, you sound like Desmond. It's like, what is that thing? So if I had some money on every bet that was, what is that instrument? You know, I could have a nice little stash of money. Because it doesn't, not very many people play the curved one. Traditional jazz guys, some smooth jazz guys, but it just got a darker sound. I borrowed it from the guy who is now the president at CSI, who is the of the college down there, and he was thinking about selling it, and I really liked it. I tried straight ones. I was trying the straight regular ones so I could quit getting the curved questions, but it's just I kept coming back to that one. It's just I like that sound. It had a more saxophone-like sound, I think.
Yeah. So. And it's a good look, too.
Yeah, it is a good look. It's a different look.
Brent Jensen's here live on 88.5 KNKX, and we've got time for another song. What would you like to play next?
This is a little-known Desmond original. It was on his debut that he did with Jim Hall, I think, Take 10. And this one's entitled Embarcadero. So famous, you know, historic district in San Francisco, which is where he's from.
Fantastic. We've got Brent Jensen and his Pure Desmond Band live on 88.5.